So I guess tonight it's a no-brainer as to what we'll speak about tonight, being that it's Yom HaZikaron. I want to start with a very interesting pasuk in Parshas Chayisara. The pasuk tells us, and pasuk Yud Zayin tells us, "Vayakum stei Efron asher b'machpel asher l'fnei mamre hasada v'ma'ora asher bo v'chol ha'itz asher basada asher b'chol gvulo saviv la'avram l'mikne la'enei b'nei ches b'chol boi shariro." Here we have this acquisition. We have Avram going ahead and purchasing the Baruch Hashem. We have Avram purchasing the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, our first acquisition in the land of Israel. And if we look just one pasuk after pasuk Chaf, the pasuk tells us Vayakam, an almost identical pasuk. The pasuk says Vayakam Asada VaAma'ara Asher Bo LaAvram LaAchuzas Kever Me'es B'nei Ches. The sada, the cave within it, was Ta'avram as an achuzas kever me'es b'nei ches. So what's very strange is, here in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we have Vayakam Asada, and here in Pasuk Chaf, we have the same lashon, Vayakam Asada. Over there we have Le'enei b'nei ches in Pasuk Yud Ches, right, in front of the eyes of the children of Ches. And over here, in Pasuk Chaf, we have Me'es b'nei ches, like hidden from, not in front of the eyes of the children of Ches. So the Rav of Soloveitchik says, what is the difference between these psukim? They seem almost identical in his Sefer the Chamesh Drashos. And he explained that in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit, there are different types of kinyanim. We have a kinyan mishpati, a judicial kinyan. You go ahead, you sell your car, you go ahead, you write out a document, you give the person a document, you have witnesses, you know this better than I do, who go ahead, who witness the transaction, and then you can go ahead, you can do whatever you want with it. That's a kinyan kesef. He says, but then there's another type of kinyan that we have. And that isn't a regular kinyan mishpati. That's not just a kinyan kesef. This, here it's called an achuza, a morasha, a nachala. This is a completely different acquisition. This is an acquisition that we don't require any witnesses for. It is me'enei b'nei ches, not le'enei, not in front of them. We don't care if they see it. This is a private acquisition, but on some level, this is the acquisition that makes Maras HaMachpelah and all of Eretz Yisrael part of the national fabric of the Jewish people, something which could be never given away, never traded away. And he says, what affects that kinyan? We know what affects the kinyan. Mishpati is kesef. He gives Ephron money, cash, and a lot of it. But what goes ahead and affects that second kinyan? That's me'enei b'nei ches. That causes that sada to go ahead and to become part of the Jewish people forever. And he says the key is the pasuk in between. Pasuk Yud Tes tells us, Va'achrei kein kavar Avram es sara ishto. El ma'aras teha machpelah al pnei mamre hi chevron be'eretz kanan. And then v'yakam asad of ma'aras sherbo la'avram l'chuzas kever me'es b'nei ches. What goes ahead and makes it ours forever? That's me'es b'nei ches. That's burying Sara imenu. As the Gemara goes ahead and tells us in Maseches Brachos daf hei amud aleph, shlosha matanos tovos nitna hakadosh baruch hu liyisrael. There are three good gifts that God gave to the Jewish people. V'kulo notna ela al yidei yisurin. They're only given through affliction, through difficulty, through pain. Ve'eluhein, and they are Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. The Rav says that Eretz Yisrael becomes ours just as Maras HaMachpelah became ours through Avram bearing Sarah Imenu. He says all of those karbanos, all of those soldiers who fell throughout Eretz Yisrael, this is what made Eretz Yisrael ours. That is the kinyan nitzri, the eternal kinyan, never to go ahead, never to be taken away. Tonight and tomorrow, we memorialize those people who made Eretz Yisrael ours. I always like to tell over a story. If you've heard it before, I apologize. The story of Rav Gussman. I have a tremendous chus of being the end. I remember it was 1991. It was the end of the year. I was at the end of my Shana Bet year. I got to be at his Levaya. Rav Gussman was the youngest person. He was 20 years old. He was on the Vilna Bezdin. Rav Chaim Moshe Gridinsky became one of his great Talmidim. And after the war, he came to Eretz Yisrael. didn't join any political party. He shied away from that. He taught Torah in a little yeshiva in Rechavia called Netzach Yisrael. Wrote monumental svarim. There's one in Kiddushin that I spent a lot of time learning. I had the schus of going to see him when he was living. And Rav Gusman, he would give a share every day in the yeshiva. On Thursdays, he had a very interesting group of people in Rechavia at the time. He gave a shir for Balabatim. Now, in the shir for Balabatim was Supreme Court Justice, many professors, tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. People, you know, this is what it was. I mean, I had to tell you the story. They tell sort of so you understand who he was. He was so unassuming. During, I think it was the Six-Day War, they tell that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wanted to do something to go ahead and to help the war effort. What's he going to do? He's a Rosh Hashiva, Yeshiva Gush Etzion, he's older already. So what he did is, back then, they went ahead and they delivered milk. You'd get milk in the glass, the precursor to those wonderful bags, a glass bottle. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, you know, the person who would deliver the milk was called up, so he went ahead and he delivered the milk. So he actually came to the house of Rav Gusman. And they say he's there, he's delivering a crate with milk in it to the house of Rav Gusman. He figures, well, Rav Gusman, you know, go, and I could, you know, he starts asking some questions. Rav Gusman starts answering questions, back and forth, until Rav Aaron gets so caught up, the milk is going to spoil. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I have to go, I have to deliver more milk. Oh, okay. He goes out, he picks up the crate, he walks out. Rav Gusman turns to his Talmidim who are there with him and says, ah, this is what I love about Eretz Yisrael. Even the milkmen are holding in all of Shas. Even the milkmen know all of Shas. This is Rav Gusman. He's awesome. So at this shir, there was a professor from Hebrew University who would come, you know, would always come to this shir. And he had a son by the name of Shlomo, who was actually a high school teacher. He was married, helping put himself through university at the same time. He was teaching in high school. His wife was expecting. And it was 1982 when he was called up. Lebanon, and in a day of particularly fierce fighting, he was killed, he fell. The Levaya and Har Herzl, Rav Gusman goes, all the Talmidim from his yeshiva, they come, and Rav Gusman, they say, is looking at all the kfarim, all the graves, and he says, Kedoshim, look at the graves of these Kedoshim. Somebody there said, Rebbe, even the secular ones, the non-religious. He said, they're all Kedoshim. After the Levaya, and the professor was very moved that he showed up, after the Levaya, so the professor goes back with his family to have a meal, Rav Gusman says to Sham, says, take me to the professor's house. He's, okay, sure, take me to the professor's house. Okay? He comes to the house, the professor sees him, he says, no, you don't have to be here now, it's okay. And I'm going to read to you Rav Ari Kahn, who writes just a quote from what took place, what Rav Gusman said to this professor. He said, in Yiddish and then in Hebrew, so everybody would understand it. He says, I'm sure you don't know this, but I had a son named Meir. He was a beautiful child. He was taken from my arms and executed. I escaped. I later bartered my child's shoes so that we would have food, but I was never able to eat the food. I gave it away to others. My mayor is a kadosh. He's holy. He and the 6 million who perished are holy. Rav Gusman then added, I'll tell you what's transpiring now in the Olam Ha'emes. My mayor is welcoming your Shlomo into the minyan and saying to him, I died because I am a Jew. But I wasn't able to save anyone else. But you, Shlomo, you died defending the Jewish people and the land of Israel. My mayor is Kadosh, but your Shlomo, he's the Shliach Tzibur. He's the Shliach Tzibur in that minyan. This professor embraced Rav Gusman and said, Nechamtani Rebbe, Nechamtani Rebbe, you consoled me. Rav Gusman said, could I sit a little bit with you? I never had the opportunity to sit shiver from my mayor. And he sat with Professor Yisrael Alman, who would later win the Nobel Prize for Mathematics. you know, whatever you feel, you know, all the questions that come up, why don't we make Meshaberach for Tzahal? Why don't certain places make it? I think I told you once what happened with my nephew when he was in Marava. And there was a question and answer with Rosh Hashiva of Marava. And my nephew, incredibly bright and also has a holy chutzpah, he said, I don't understand. Why don't we go ahead? And why don't we say the Meshaberach for the Chayalei Tzahal? So he said, Meman of Shach. He says, if you want to say it's our Torah that really spiritually protects everybody, but still, and that's true, but still we shouldn't thank those people who do the physical work. Our Torah provides a protection, as many like to say. But at least thank the people who do the physical work. He says, it's like going ahead and a donor gives $1 million to the yeshiva. Are you going to say, I don't have to say thank you, because it's my Torah that gave him that money. It's my Torah that made him rich. You know you would say thank you. So why don't we say thank you, the Chayalei Tzahal? And Rosh Hashiva said, you're right. And whenever he's there, he makes sure that they go ahead and make a Mishaberach. You know, actually, Rav Shlomo Fisher, I don't know who you know what Rav Shlomo Fisher is. Rav Shlomo Fisher could know the most Torah in the world today. Rav Shlomo Fisher is a Gon Olam. He's a Rosh Hashiva in Itri. The reason why you don't see him on the Pashkavilim is because he learns and he's his own man. His own, you know, if he doesn't agree with one of the other Gedol, you know, one of the other Tzaddikim out there, he'll say it. He's not shy. And they can't really say anything because, in fact, they tell a story. Again, I can't say that this is 100%, but I've heard it enough times. You could ask Rabbi Rosner, I think I heard it from him also. They said Rav Schechter was considering going up on the Har HaBayis. And he was, you know, halachically he thought that, you know, it was his wife. If you know his wife, she said, Rabbi Schechter, before you go onto the Har HaBayis, you go see what your friend Rav Shlomo Fisher, if he would go up. And Rav Shlomo Fisher wouldn't go up, then you're not going up. So you understand a person on this level. That's the understanding of Rav Schechter is deferring to Rav Shlomo Fisher. So my nephew asked him why people don't say, I don't understand. How could he said he heard from the Stipler many times. This generation is a Dor Yaso. We have no Gedolim today. We have Tzadikim, but we don't have Gedolim. Hashkafically, halachically, you have to listen, you know, some paskins, but hashkafically, it's certainly a person can do what he feels is the right thing. And he says, the truth is, if they made it into, which is incorrect, into a chinuch thing, became political, he says, that people today, who are, quote, you know, seen as gedolim, he says, politically, they have to listen to the people around them. He says, hashkafically, you can do what you believe is the right thing to do. You know, I told you the story before. In the yeshiva, the Panovich yeshiva, the flagship of the Haredi world, the flag that flies on top. Every Yom HaTzmut that was left in the Tzava, the will of Rav Kahaneman, who survived the Shoah, lost almost his entire family, left there. There should be a flag flying on top of the Panovich yeshiva. Once one of the Rosh yeshiva that he employed got up and gave a fiery sicha, very anti Zionistic, anti the state of Israel, Rav Kahaneman called him in and said, how could you say those things that you said? He said, what do you mean? He said, that. He says, how could you say those things that you said? I know how you could say. Give him one tear, etc. And says, I know how you could say those things. Because you didn't smell the air over Auschwitz. You didn't smell the burning flesh like I did over Auschwitz. You read the accounts of the refugee boats coming from Europe, coming to, as they're in the dusk, as the sun is going up, they're seeing the first silhouette of Harka, of Haifa, the port in Haifa. To see it, And they would just break down crying. It was like a feral cry. People would collapse on the floor in fetal position, just crying hysterically. People banging themselves, their heads against the wall, that they had such a schus to see this, to see Eretz Yisrael, to see the land of Israel, after coming from the fire of the Holocaust. To have this schus, what made this land ours, is the sacrifice of those chayalim. That's what made this land ours. And tonight and tomorrow is the time just to take a little bit of time, whether it's to learn, just to go ahead and to try to really internalize that, to recognize that, and to have hakaras hatov for it. To have hakaras hatov for it. Kulam kedoshim. They're all holy.